from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. Wow, it's good to be back behind the microphone. My thanks to Sarah and Evan for filling in for me last week while I was on the FRC Alaskan cruise. Had a great time hanging out with many friends of FRC, along with great members of the FRC team, like General Boykin, Ken Blackwell, and Michelle Bachman. And just had a great time, but it's great to be back where it's warm. Quite frankly, I don't like the cold weather. But for today, a big week here in Washington, D.C., as the second annual Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom gets underway. Earlier today, I was at the opening event at the Holocaust Museum, a moving ceremony, keynoted by Iris Weiss, a Holocaust survivor. She was in Auschwitz, and it was a moving event. Later, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is hosting the gathering of international leaders, will join us with an overview of this week's activities. And in just a moment, Congressman Gus Bilirakis of Florida, the co-chair of the International Religious Freedom Caucus, joins us with a look at what Congress can and is doing to advance international religious freedom. Also, a relatively new group called Save the Persecuted Christians met earlier today here in D.C. One of the speakers was our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He joins me later to discuss why there is a need to focus on persecuted Christians. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Hey, before I jump into our first interview, I want to welcome a new station to the family of stations that carries Washington Watch. 93.7 FM in Memphis, Tennessee, the newest bot radio network station to add to the list of affiliates. Delighted to welcome 93.7 to the Washington Watch family. All right, beginning today, as I mentioned, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is hosting the second Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom here in Washington, D.C. It goes through Thursday of this week with over 1,000 civil society, religious community, and government representatives really representing every corner of the world. Now, the Ministerial will reaffirm international commitments to promote religious freedom. This is the first administration to ever do to hold such a meeting as this ministerial, and in fact, if I would encourage you to tune in this week, we're going to actually be broadcasting from the State Department tomorrow through Thursday, covering the ministerial. We'll have other leaders that will be there speaking. Will be a part of the program, but you can find out more. Go to the State Department's website. It's state.gov/religious freedom. And anyway, you can keep up with what's going on. Well, joining me now is Congressman Gus Bilirakis, who represents the 12th District of Florida, and he is the co-chair of the International Religious Freedom Caucus. He also serves on the Energy, Commerce, and Commerce Committee and the Veterans Affairs Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let me just start with this. First off, why the interest in the issue of international religious freedom for you?
Well, you know what? We need Christians in Congress to speak up on behalf of our brothers and sisters. We're all children of Christ, and as Christians, of course. But, you know, I speak up on behalf of all religious minorities. My godmother was from a place called Izmir, actually Smyrni, which is used to be Asia Minor, part of Turkey now.
Right.
And she was kicked out of her own country because she was a Christian. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, immigrated to the United States. So I've seen it firsthand or heard about it firsthand from my godmother. So this is an issue where it's very dear to my heart, and I believe we have an obligation to speak up. And
well,
you know what? Our voices are very strong as U.S. representatives. We need to use them, and this is the cause that I've chosen.
Well, you mentioned Izmir, Turkey. I mean, it is a place of continues to be a place of religious persecution. In fact, that is where Pastor Andrew Brunson was being held in prison. I was there in Izmir last October when he was released. So it continues to be a problem. And what we're seeing, and we're going to talk later about this with General Boykin, we're seeing a rise in the persecution of Christians in particular, but persecution overall is up. We're seeing people of different faiths, of minority faiths in certain countries being persecuted. And this is an issue when it comes to our foreign policy, because we see this has the effect of destabilizing societies, which ultimately results in the United States having to oftentimes be involved protecting our interests. It affects economic activity. So this is a very important issue.
Yeah, you know what, Tony, you're exactly right. And this administration was the first administration that has put such an emphasis on it. And I know this is our second annual banquet of the ministerial conference. And I have the new Archbishop from the Greek Orthodox Church of America coming to my office in the next few minutes. And I actually saw him in Turkey recently. You spoke of Pastor Brunson, and I did speak directly to the president with regard to Pastor Brunson. And then he was released a couple of days later. I'm not taking credit for it, but we all contribute. We're a team. And so in any case, but I did I met the Archbishop at the seminary of Halki. It has been shut down by the Turkish government since 1971, and he was the abbot there. This is terrible because we've got to train the hierarchs, the bishops, the archbishops, the patriarchs in that country. The law, the Turkish law, is that you have to be a Turkish citizen. To become a patriarch. So they're trying to, wipe out Christians in Turkey. They're only, I understand, I still call it Constantinople, Istanbul. There are 1,200 Christians, possibly 2,000 Christians in a city of 20 million, at least 20 million.
So, Congressman Bill Arrakis, The issue is obviously you've talked about it, you're aware of it. Turkey's one of the bad actors, but there's many others. We see China increasing its persecution of religious minorities, the Uyghur Muslims. We see them, the house churches. What is Congress doing, and what can Congress do?
Well, we could place sanctions on these particular countries. And, of course, the president has emphasized it. And we have a great Secretary of State who is a strong Christian. I served on the Energy and Commerce Committee with our Secretary of State, Pompeo, and he's a wonderful man. And it's so important. We have Ambassador Brownback, former senator and governor. He cares deeply about these issues. He's got a great track record. It's not just talking. Chris Smith is one of our leaders, as you know.
Right.
You know, I wanted to mention, Tony, also in Nigeria, you're probably aware of this, but Leah Sharibu, I may have pronounced that wrong. She's a 15-year-old. At the time, she was 15. And a government official asked her what her faith was, asked her about her faith, and she said she was a Christian. And they gave her the Quran, and she refused to read the Quran. Guess what? They detained her for 2 years now. And her family has had very little contact, if any contact with her. So, this is in Nigeria. So it's all over. It's all over Africa, the Middle East. We face it to a certain extent here in this country.
Hmm. Yeah, I was actually earlier today met with another young woman who had been taken captive by Boko Haram in Nigeria, much like Leah had been taken captive. And it is. It's happening all over. And one positive thing is that you're absolutely right. We have an administration that is willing to address this and take on the issue. Congressman, I want to thank you for taking time to join us today. Appreciate the work that you do on behalf of international religious freedom and religious freedom in general, both for our as it pertains to our foreign policy and here domestically in America.
It's not just Christians. We've got to look out for all religious minorities. So I really appreciate what you do, Tony. We're big fans of yours. And again, anytime you want me on, and I'm going to continue to advocate on behalf of our Christians and religious minorities.
All right. Congressman Bill Arrakis, thanks so much. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. You know, this is a quite a significant week. In fact, coming up, I'm going to have Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He's going to be joining us to talk about the purpose behind this focus on international religious freedom. He's taken some grief for this, not surprising, from the media. Almost anything this administration does, they want to take issue with. But this issue of religious freedom, if you get this right in our foreign policy in encouraging other countries to get it right, this fundamental freedom, this first freedom, many of the other things fall in place. A lot of the other problems, as they say, take care of themselves. So I applaud this administration for stepping out, putting a priority on religious freedom, both in our domestic policy, as the president put forth an executive order telling the federal agencies that they had to protect, promote religious freedom. And we're seeing the results of that. Still a lot of cleanup to be done from the previous administration, but some clearly advances being made. But then also in foreign policy, it's huge because we have people that are literally losing their lives as a result of tyrannical governments. I mean, what's happening in China? In fact, China is going to be a part of the focus this week of the ministerial. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's happening there. But it's subtle in other places as well. I was actually I was talking to some elected officials from Canada earlier today who were saying that they're very disturbed by the lack of focus that their government is putting on religious freedom, both in its foreign policy and domestically, and was hoping that we would encourage them as a country to give greater emphasis on religious freedom. So anyway, coming up next, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo joins us to talk about the second annual Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom. And then also later in the program, our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joins us to talk about an effort to save persecuted Christians. The number of Christians being targeted for their faith growing around the globe. Why? What's behind it? We're going to talk about that with General Boykin. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. If you want to send me a note, you can do so, Tony@TonyPerkins.com. All right, don't go away. You do not want to miss our interview with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo coming up next here on this Monday edition of Washington Watch.
Can United States senators interrogate court nominees on their religious beliefs? This is a controversial question that our country is facing today. In light of this controversy, FRC has taken up the task of answering this question with one of their latest publications, Rebels Without a Clause. We've seen in recent Senate confirmation hearings a troubling pattern arise where senators have begun questioning presidential nominees about their faith as an attempt to discredit them. These interrogations have gone so far as to asking nominees of their theological beliefs, church membership, and associations with faith-based nonprofits. It has been an alarming display of hostility toward religion and people of faith. Visit frc.org/test to learn what questioning the Constitution's No Religious Test Clause allows and forbids in the process of confirming judicial nominees. That's frc.org/test.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality, but its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
Many advances made by the homosexual movement are based on the claim that sexual orientation is immutable or unchangeable. This belief was a deciding factor in the 2015 Supreme Court case that redefined marriage to include same-sex couples. It has been a key argument for LGB activists fighting to restrict or ban therapies for people seeking help to overcome their same-sex attraction. But is sexual orientation written in stone? Should we brand people with an immovable sexual orientation label and tell them, you can't change, don't try to change, even if they want to? In a new publication from FRC, we reveal that sexual orientation can change. Survey data shows that heterosexuality is largely stable, but homosexuality is not. Even pro-LGB scholars are calling for the immutability argument to be abandoned. The question is, why is the LGB movement pushing this false argument? To learn more, visit frc.org/sexual orientation. That's frc.org/sexual orientation.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us on this Monday afternoon. As I mentioned earlier, today starts the second annual Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom, hosted here in Washington, D.C. by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I was at one of the opening events at the Holocaust Museum earlier today. The ministerial will be held throughout the week with both official State Department meetings with some 1,000 civil society and religious community representatives and governmental officials representing every corner of the world. And there's also events by non-governmental organizations seeking to promote religious freedom. Secretary Mike Pompeo, who heads up the State Department, is a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point, graduating first in his class. He served in the U.S. Army, reaching the rank of captain before going to Harvard Law School. He worked as an attorney, among other things, before being elected to Congress from the state of Kansas, where he represented the 4th District. Prior to the president asking him to serve as Secretary of State, Mike served as the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. He is married to Susan, with whom he has one son, Nicholas. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo serves as a local church deacon and teaches Sunday school through the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. Secretary Pompeo, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you.
First of all, let me just say thank you for hosting and making this a priority, the second Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom. And let me start, Secretary, with the most obvious. International religious freedom is a priority for the Trump administration. That is clear. But why?
Tony, it's we talk about the ministerial, and that's a fancy name for something that you and I both understand as something that is basic. It's intrinsic, this first freedom, this most fundamental of human rights, to for an individual to make a choice about how to practice one's faith or, frankly, to choose not to. It is so central to human dignity that it is important that the State Department, the United States Department of State, do its level best to ensure this freedom that we have here in the United States is a freedom that we encourage and support all around the world, so that every individual, no matter their circumstances and no matter on what continent they live, they have the opportunity to engage in practicing their faith in the way they see fit for themselves and for their family.
So, Mr. Secretary, give us an overview of what we can expect this week as you have governmental leaders from across the, really around the world coming here to discuss religious freedom, some looking back on what the challenges that were put forward last year to see how we're making progress. But what other items are going to be covered?
It's going to be a great gathering. And as you said, too, there are gatherings all across town now that have begun to take place during this week. That is that heartens me to see that blossoming. You know, we'll have 1,000 leaders, some governmental leaders, civil society leaders, religious leaders, all coming together to talk about the things that are going right in their countries, the things that are not going well, how we can collectively deliver on this fundamental human right, this unalienable right for each and every individual. So you'll have people like Pastor Brunson talking about his experiences. You'll have individuals who were persecuted in certain countries talking about what happened to them and how it is we can prevent that. The conversations will be lively. They'll be intellectual. They'll be very powerful because we'll hear firsthand accounts of people who have suffered where religious freedom did not exist. And it hopefully we'll come together to deliver on a set of objectives over the course of the next year. We've seen great progress in this last year, but Tony, as you well know, there's much work to be done.
Well, Mr. Secretary, I can imagine that as you have traveled, almost every week to different parts of the world, that as a result of this administration making international religious freedom a priority, it's been interjected into your conversations. Because I can tell you, I have seen it as I have met with leaders of other countries. They have taken note that the Trump administration has placed a priority on religious freedom, and they're working to try to advance it in their own countries.
Yeah, Tony, it's heartening that you've seen it, too. I certainly have. President Trump has made it a priority, so our team does as well. And I see it as well. It's at a higher level in the conversation. It's more of a priority in many countries. I think they understand the United States' expectations and our encouragement for them to behave in ways. And we try to do this, Tony, too, from both it's a fundamental human right, one that every individual ought to have the right to expect in their country. But we also work to help countries understand that affording this right of religious freedom, will make their country stronger, will make their country more powerful, it will make the citizens in their nation more capable. So this is certainly something that one nation ought to do because it's the right thing to do, but it's also something that benefits each and every nation, that opens up religious freedom to people from all faiths.
Well, and that is actually a topic that's covered in this year's ministerial, is the effect of religious freedom. Once you get that right, you begin to see economic development coming into place. You see greater social stability. So it is a first freedom for a reason.
Amen, Tony. You also see this. You can see the converse, which is nations that have chosen a different path, a path which denies religious freedom, over time lose their capacity to respond to the most fundamental needs of their own citizens. And that does not bode well. That doesn't strengthen a nation. It weakens it. And I think as the United States and President Trump have directed, we talk about this and make this a priority. I think countries are beginning to see that and learn that as well. And so it's had a very, very positive impact. We're very happy with how this has proceeded, not just in the United States, but all around the world.
So, Mr. Secretary, what are your goals for this year? What do you hope to be the takeaways from this year's gathering?
So at the most basic level, we will regather. This will be the second time. So people will have had 1 year. Having seen what happened last year, we'll be able to mark our progress along the way. But we've got a number of particular issues, places in the world. Christian persecution will be one of the focuses. The focuses of the persecution that's taking place against Muslims in China and throughout other parts of the world. Those will be some of our central focuses. And then we're also going to try to make sure that we put in place a set of building blocks. We don't want this event to be a one-off where we all congratulate ourselves for having a good week here in Washington. We want this to be something that has programs and processes that are laid out all through the next year so that when we come together for the third one a year from now, we can measure our progress against what we set out as our objective this year.
All right, Mr. Secretary, we're up against a break. We're going to come right back and finish our conversation with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
There is unprecedented religious persecution around the globe. In recent years, research has found increasing governmental and social hostility towards religious believers worldwide. For the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, than any other religious group. While the specific threats to religious freedom vary in type and intensity, one common source is the legal and cultural support for apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws, which often threaten the freedom to choose or change one's faith. In a new publication from Family Research Council, we list which nations around the world have these unjust laws on the books and spotlight people who have faced severe penalties simply for sharing or changing their faith. For more information on religious hostility due to apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws around the world, visit frc.org/ABA laws. That's frc.org/ABA laws.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Joining me on this Monday afternoon, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Before the break, we were talking about the hopeful takeaways from this year's ministerial. Mr. Secretary, last week you spoke at the Christians United for Israel annual summit. And one of the issues you addressed there, which we're seeing growing here in the United States, as well as in Europe and other places, is anti-Semitism.
We'll spend time on that this week as part of the Religious Freedom Ministerial as well. Our special representative for monitoring and combating anti-Semitism, Ilan Carr, will be this will be his central focus. I did talk about it last week, and I've talked about it for my time as Secretary of State. We've watched the increase in anti-Semitism around the world. We saw what happened in a number of places, and we've seen that here in the United States as well. And, you know, The people of Israel, the Jewish people, have a right to practice their faith, Judaism, in the way that they choose to practice it. And we know the history, and we want to do our level best to make sure that every person of every faith has the capacity to practice their religion, including those who practice the faith of Judaism.
I mean, this is a fundamental issue, and again, I commend you for stepping out and making this a priority for the State Department in our foreign policy, which, by the way, you know, as a member of Congress, you were supportive of this. This goes back 20 years where the Congress said, we want this to be a priority in our foreign policy. But I have to say, I think in the 20 years since the International Religious Freedom Act was passed, this is the first time where we've had this type of leadership, where you've got the president, you've got the vice president, you've got the Secretary of State, you've got the National Security Advisor, you've got an aggressive ambassador at large for international religious freedom. I'm not sure the time could be better, because the need is certainly great at this moment.
Tony, I see that in many places, and I've talked some on our time together this day. I've talked about the progress that we've made. I also see, when I travel, places where we've not made sufficient progress, places where Christians are being moved out, denied their capacity to practice, and there's risk that their Christianity will leave some of the most traditional historic places in the Middle East. I've watched as people who want to practice other religions are just denied that opportunity. They're persecuted based on their faith. So this administration has made very clear that's unacceptable. Your government can be doing lots of great things. The fundamental duty that we each owe to every other human being, just by nature of their humanness, is to permit them to practice their faith. and we're working diligently on that. And so while we're proud of the progress we've made, we understand that there are many out there, many perhaps listening to your show today, that aren't living in a place where they can practice their religious freedom in the way that they choose. And we want to do our level best to make sure that we can make it better for them.
And this comes in many different directions in many different ways, sometimes more subtle. And I was out last week actually with a group in Alaska, and so I was not able to talk about one of your announcements last week, going into the Commission on Inalienable Rights, which is fundamental to this issue of religious freedom. And as usual, this administration has been criticized for stepping out. And one of the things I appreciate about the president, about you, is that that doesn't cause you to shrink back. It just causes you to really to dig in and move forward. But over the weekend, you were criticized by Roger Cohen for this commission. And in his comments, he made reference to, and I'm just going to quote from his piece, he says, "The intention of Pompeo, an evangelical Christian whose beliefs infuse his policy, appear to be to turn back the clock," referring to fundamental human rights. I mean, is this not a form of the very religious intolerance that's manifesting itself through our own media here in the country, that somehow because you're an evangelical Christian, you can't advocate for the rights of others?
Tony, what we're doing with this, and I appreciate you talking about this, Inalienable Rights Commission is really important. We've put together a good panel that will go back to take a look at what are these basic rights and how do we define them here in the United States, and then how do we think about it around the world. Our founders thought about this an awful lot. They wrote about it in the Federalist Papers. They talked about it in the Declaration of Independence with the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's a declaration, an international declaration of human rights to which we will study and refer. It is really important that we define these most basic rights that every human being is entitled to in a way that is careful and thoughtful and grounded. And that's what our Inalienable Rights Commission intends to do. When we start to talk about a broad, big, deep, thousands of rights, we diminish these things like right. religious freedom
right.
that are so fundamental to humanity, that are so fundamental that we risk making them sort of lost in the shuffle. And I want to make sure we get this right. And so that's what the Inalienable Rights Commission is going to do. And I'm very optimistic that when we complete this work, even those who've taken shots at what we're trying to do will see that it was sincere and important and deeply consistent with our Constitution and our founding here in the United States of America.
Well, I know as a former tank commander, you'll stay the course.
Amen.
Secretary, final comment for you. I know we're up against a break. How can our listeners be praying for you?
Just keep praying for our nation. Keep praying for this amazing country, the most unique, wonderful nation in the history of civilization, that we continue to adhere to our capacity to deliver on religious freedom for every single American, and that we are mindful of this Constitution that we have that protects that right for each and every one of us.
Mr. Secretary, thanks for taking time on such a busy week to visit with us. Look forward to seeing you throughout the week.
Thank you, Tony. Have a great day.
You too. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and be tracking. This week, we're going to be at the ministerial, at the State Department, broadcasting from there each day this week. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come right after this.
Did you know that babies survive failed abortions? Sadly, many of these babies are denied their human right to life and are allowed to die. Currently, there is no federal criminal statute in place to protect these babies after they're born alive. Congress and state legislatures across the country have responded by putting forth legislation to protect infants who survive abortion. However, leftist politicians have blocked efforts in Congress and in state legislatures to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which requires that life-saving medical care be given to babies born alive after failed abortion attempts. We must decide as a country where we stand on the issue of infanticide, to either pursue humane protections for those most vulnerable in our society, or continue to subject innocent human life to the whims of abortionists. For more information, visit frc.org/bornalive.
Today, military personnel are at greater risk than ever of suffering from a mental health condition. On average, 21 active and retired military members take their own lives every day. Richard Gleaston, a military and veteran advocate in the area of mental health, recently shared evidence that faith-based solutions can help stop this crisis. Here's what Richard had to say.
There's new science out that they watch people while they're praying or have a religious relationship. The frontal part of their brain, if I'm correct in remembering what they told me, it strengthens it. It reduces depression, reduces anxiety and stress while you're doing it. So not only did God give us prayer as a way to alleviate our spirit, it also alleviates our mind and our bodies. Our bodies react in a positive way to a faith-based relationship.
Visit frc.org/speakers to hear more.
Did you know that thanks to President Trump, abortion giant Planned Parenthood can no longer receive up to $60 million in federal funding? This new federal protection for the unborn is thanks to a rule change that the Trump administration implemented to the Title X Family Planning Grant Program, which will take effect in May 2019. Not only do the new Title X rule changes take funding away from our nation's largest abortion supplier, they also ensure that taxpayer dollars are not used for abortion and open the door for pro-life pregnancy resource centers and other faith-based organizations to apply for Title X funds, thus expanding the health care options of needy families who are experiencing unexpected pregnancies. For more information about the new Title X rule changes that protect the unborn and increase health care options, visit frc.org/Title X. That's frc.org/Title X.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Great to be back behind the microphone. Hey, I want to just touch on something. I brought this up with the secretary, and it was in the New York Times over the weekend. It was a guest columnist, Roger Cohen. And it was entitled, Trump's Ominous Attempt to Redefine Human Rights. And takes a, you know, not surprising, but takes a shot at Pompeo and the Trump administration for the Commission on Unalienable Rights. Let me just a couple of paragraphs here. This is the third paragraph. For the Trump administration to establish a Commission on Unalienable Rights to examine the meaning of human rights as it did this month is a little like Saudi Arabia forming a commission on multi-party democracy or North Korea, a commission on how to end famine. And then, but here's the point. I brought this up, and the secretary didn't want to talk about it because he's being diplomatic. Well, me not so much so. He goes about halfway through this diatribe. He says, the United States, through the State Department and other means, has been a consistent advocate for these rights, referring back to an expanded view of human rights, which includes everything, which the secretary just a few moments ago said that, you know, when fundamental human rights include everything, they include nothing, which is it's been treated like silly putty. But here's my point, going back to Cohen's piece. The intention of Pompeo, an evangelical Christian whose beliefs infuse his policy, appears to be turning back the clock, end quote. Notice that an evangelical Christian whose beliefs infuse his policy. You talk about religious intolerance. There it is. This is clear from the left that if you have a faith, if you're an evangelical Christian, if you have an orthodox view of Scripture, and you actually believe that Scripture provides guidance for your life, then you are not qualified to serve in such a capacity as a Secretary of State or Vice President or police officer or teacher, or quite frankly, in their mind, any other position in the public arena. And folks, that stuff has to be addressed, has to be called out for what it is and resisted at every front. Because that's the kind of stuff that gives way to the persecution of Christians abroad. And that's what happened under the last administration when basically we had an administration going after Christians. Well, that sent a message to every tyrant and terrorist abroad that it was open season on Christians. Because if we won't protect the most fundamental rights of Christians here at home, pushing them out of the public square, forcing them into, you know, funding abortions and abortifacients, and contraceptives in their health care plans, suing them, driving them out of business for standing for their faith, well, then why should we be surprised that persecution of Christians is on the rise around the world? So this, subtle but significant. Well, speaking of this, earlier today, board members of Save the Persecuted Christians, a group that's been around for about a year, held a press conference to alert the world of their work of exposing the causes of anti-Christian violence, holding those responsible accountable, and securing significant penalties for state and non-state persecutors of Christians. In addition, Save the Persecuted Christians also wants to see God save souls by providing strong incentives for bad actors to embrace peace, repent of their violent misdeeds, and look with kindness on their neighbors. Well, joining me now is one of the individuals who was a part of that board and was at the press conference today, also happens to be the Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council, our own retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. General, I see you made it back from the cruise.
I did. I'm a little fatter and well-rested, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you didn't miss the boat, did you? You got on the last stop?
No, I tell you what, it was probably the best cruise I've been on. It was a little colder than I expected.
But I was glad to get back here to the heat, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it was good.
We had a great time with friends of FRC from all over the country. Actually, we had some from different countries that were there with us. I mentioned earlier Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman from Minnesota, Ambassador Kim Blackwell, yourself. So we had and some of our policy team, Travis Weber was there, and we had a great time interacting. Mm-hmm. So it was a time well spent. By the way, I'll just mention this, folks. A year from now, coming up in June of next year, not quite a year, a little shorter than a year, June of next year, we'll be going back to Israel with the same group. So might have missed Alaska, might have missed that boat, but you can catch the plane and go with us to Israel next year, June the 2nd through the 12th, a trip of a lifetime.
It really is, Tony. I have, as you know, I've spent a lot of time in Israel and been there many times. And I've been with many different groups, and I will tell you that what we do over there is the broadest, most comprehensive tour that I have ever been a part of there, because we don't just show them the holy sites. We show them what it means to be an Israeli living in an environment where you never know if a missile is going to come through your roof. And we take them into Samaria to places like Shiloh and Ariel, which, you know, Samaria is euphemistically called the West Bank.
Right.
But with armored buses, we take people into those areas there and show them a different story than what they're hearing in the news.
Well, it's not only look at the biblical history, but also the today's geopolitical world and what's happening and why it is important that we stand with Israel and why they're such a strategic ally for us in that region of the world.
Yeah.
Well, but that's a conversation for another day. By the way, folks, if you would like more information on joining us, plan now, plan early, email me, tony@tonyperkins.com, and we'll send you some information on that. But back to our topic, General, today, earlier today, you joined a press conference with Save the Persecuted Christians. Why is the persecution of Christians on the rise, and how significant is it?
Yeah, it's significant. As a matter of fact, the president of the board of Save the Persecuted Christians is someone that we all know is Kevin Jessup, Reverend Kevin Jessup out of Florida. He pointed out that during our two-hour session here, the statistics say that 10 Christians will die in being martyred for their faith. And now, there are a lot of Christians that are dying every year. And if you're seeing 10 in an hour's time, just to do the math and figure out that there's a lot of Christians that are dying for their faith all over the world. Gordon Chang was there today as part of this news conference, and Gordon pointed out that under President Xi, China has ratcheted up the pressure on the Christians there in mainland China. And the reason is because they fear the Christians, because they fear the Christians and what they might do in China as they leave either secularism or they leave, you know, the traditional faith of China. What happens next?
They fear them because they can't control them from a standpoint of their allegiance is to another kingdom. Not that they're a threat. In fact, Christians anywhere in the world are the best citizens because they understand that they're accountable to the transcendent truth of God and to the moral law of God, and therefore they should be and generally are exceptional citizens. And so it's not a fear that they're going to overthrow the government or do something evil. It's just that they can't control them.
That's right. And the same thing in Iran. You know, we talked about that today in the news conference as well, is about the situation in Iran and the growing underground church in Iran.
Right.
People leaving Islam in record numbers now, and the church is estimated to be somewhere between 3 and 4 million people and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is significant too, because again, the mullahs fear the strength of the underground church because they're drawing people away from Islam, and Islam is all about control.
Well, I mean, you could almost say we've seen some of that here in our own country, where government fears a vibrant, growing church because, number one, I think there's a failure to understand by many in the secular world that their authority in many ways is upheld by the church, by Christians, by those who understand that it's not external pressure and threats that cause them to do what is right, but it comes from the internal. I mean, that's what the founders talked about. You know?
Well, you were just talking about unalienable rights, the Commission on Unalienable Rights. What were unalienable rights? They were God-given rights. They were making a very bold statement when they wrote the Declaration of Independence and then followed by the Constitution, and the two are really one, separated by a period of time, but it's really one. And they talked about unalienable rights because they were making a statement that we no longer see the supreme authority being the king or the pharaoh or the caliph. It is God himself, and our government will be committed to Judeo-Christian principles.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us unalienable rights as a result of that.
So as far as what's happening with persecuted Christians around the globe, what do we see as options on the table to bring not just a ray of hope, but tangible help?
Yeah, I think what we have to do is we have to start very boldly calling them out for what the people that are persecuting Christians. We have to hold China and its human rights failures, much of which has to do with Christians. We have to hold them accountable. We have to hold Iran accountable. We have to hold these countries, and we do that to some extent through the United Nations. But more importantly, what Secretary Pompeo, I think, we're seeing the beginning of an effort here to where we'll be able to identify a lot of these people, these countries, these nations, these societies that are persecuting Christians, and begin to hold them accountable. It may result in sanctions against them. It may result in something else, a diplomatic isolation, for example. But we have to hold them accountable. We have to say this is not acceptable.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. My guest in our final segment today, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council, talking about an event that occurred earlier today here in Washington, D.C., a press conference with Save the Persecuted Christians. By the way, folks, just this week, if you're just tuning in, this entire week will be the Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom. Now, what's ministerial? Well, we talked about that earlier with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. It's just a meeting. It's an international gathering of leaders. We'll have over 1,000 civil society, government representatives that will be here discussing tangible ways in which to promote religious freedom internationally. And we'll be broadcasting the rest of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from the State Department there at the Ministerial. I'll, in my other capacity as a USERF chairman, I will be speaking on one of the panels there as well, actually a couple of the panels. So this is a big, big week for religious freedom. And the Trump administration in many ways is influencing the world on this by making it such a high priority, as we talked about with the Secretary of State just moments ago. But General, I want to – you mentioned Iran. How is the Iranian government persecuting Christians?
Yeah, well, what they're doing is they are pursuing them, and when they're caught, they're jailed, they're tortured, and there have been incidents of them being killed. Their rights are taken away from them. They're stripped of all of their liberties, and that's a loose term when I say liberties because they live under Sharia. So the government of Iran realizes that more people are accepting Christianity than Islam on a day-to-day basis. And as you well know, I got that from a missionary that has been over there for 12 years, living underground, helping run the underground church when I was in Iraq back in May. And he said, look, people are abandoning Islam in record numbers. They're not all going over to the Christian church, but many of them are. And this is a real problem for the mullahs there and for the IRGC, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, because it is, as you said earlier, it's how they control a people. And when Muhammad was dictating what is now the Quran and ultimately the Hadith, you go back and look at what he was doing, and he was establishing a method by which he could control the people. It's all about power, right, within Islam. And if what this missionary told us was that there is a phenomenon over there that you don't see anywhere else in the Islamic world, and that is that they don't let the azam give the daily prayer call from the towers, and that, you know, you hear it all over the place. They hate it. They call it noise pollution. That tells you something about where they stand with regards to their satisfaction with Islam versus Christianity.
General, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time for today, but
okay.
Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. And folks, I hope you will as well as we cover this week's ministerial at the State Department. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.